One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Psalm 51. I've already given you the verse, but I want you to look at it for just a moment. It starts out with David asking for mercy. And he asked for it according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. He said, I want you to put the blot out of my transgressions. I want you to wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. He said, I acknowledge my transgression, my sins ever before me. Against thee, the only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. In other words, he said, I'm going to go by the book. I'm going by the book. Just whatever you say goes with me. I'm going to clear God of the whole thing. I'm to blame for it. I've sinned. I've committed adultery and I've killed a man. And I know it's my fault. I'm not blaming anybody but David. And I'm asking you to have mercy upon me. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, I want you to blot out my transgression and wash me through and through from my sin. Now, he had a revival, didn't he? Now, but wait a minute. I'm going on down to the verse. It's found in verse 12, chapter 51, verse 12. Then, verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Will you turn with me now to the book of Isaiah? I hope you'll see if you have your Bible, you can mark these verses. If you don't, you won't. You'll forget them time you get home. In Jeremiah chapter 12, the 12th chapter, it said some joy somewhere, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know what I believe that means, Brother Hodges? I believe that means going after souls. Because I'm drawing water out of the well, see? And you can't draw water out of the well you know anything about. You got to get in connection with the well, got to know where the well is. And you got to have that well rope of faith and bucket of compassion. And so he said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Would you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah? Did you know this was the weeping prophet? Did you know he cried more than any man so far as we know in the Bible? He cried till he couldn't cry, his tear ducts all run dry, and yet I'm going to show you he had some joy. A lot of people think because Christians weep some, and we ought to weep every day, or the erring one, lift up the fallen, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. A lot of people think because we weep that we're unhappy. My weeping days are my happiest days. My most miserable days are the days that I weep over nobody, care nothing about anybody. I mean, those are miserable days, if you ever have them. And so he said, thy words were found, verse 16, chapter 15 and 16. Chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found. I found them. I found the words of the Lord. Thy words were found. And I did eat them. I had a big meal on them. I ate them up. You remember when God told the preacher, oh, that eat the roll? He said, eat it. He said, just swallow it right down, eat it. And he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became in me the joy. There it is. You know why we got so many miserable Baptists? And they're getting miserable, more miserable all the time, because they done lost out with the Lord. Some of the most unhappy people in the world are Baptists now. And I could talk about the Methodists, but no need to talk about them. We've got so many Baptists, let's talk about them. Most miserable people I know are people that have gone away from the Word of God. It's written all over the faces of the people. No joy, no singing. No one can't sing. Get a singer get up and he'll beg them for 15 minutes to smile. Said, couldn't y'all smile? Don't y'all know what y'all singing? Could you smile? Ah, listen, dear friends. Got to have a smile on the inside. He said, thy words were fine. I did eat them, and it became in me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Made me happy. When I ate the word of God, it brought a smile to my face, joy to my soul. gave me real joy. All right? Joel, let's turn that little book of Joel. Now, this is the greatest revival book in the Bible. And no doubt in my mind, this is the greatest revival book in the Bible. I want to read Joel chapter 1, verse 12. The vine is dried up. Fig tree languisheth. That means there's no grapes, there's no figs. And brother, they ate them back in those days, because I eat them now. That's about all I've had today is grapes, fruit. It's all I've had all day. The more I stay away from the cook stove, the better I feel. That's right. He said, but wait a minute, the famine's on, vine dried up, fig tree languisheth, pomegranate tree, palm tree also, apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Because, now then get the reason. Get the reason. Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Brother, when we lose the joy of the Lord, the fruit won't make. The land won't operate. The grapevine won't put grapes on. You know why we're facing starvation in America? And we will the next 10 years. We'll face starvation in America. I mean, we're going to be humble one of these days. A lot of people think you can live out of a supermarket. Supermarket's going to be paralyzed one of these days. The best supermarket you'll ever have is in your backyard when you raise your own garden. But see, people are too lazy to do that now. They couldn't watch television and do that at the same time. So they'd rather just starve and die of cancer as long as they watch television, see? I mean, we're through. I'm trying to wake you up, but I guarantee you, we've got a lot of people called Baptists. They're too far gone to ever wake up. And I'll promise you one thing. If you can go through this revival meeting, if you'll come with us, and if you're not awake by next Sunday night, I'll guarantee you, you've passed redemption point. You'd say, well, why did you say that? Because you're so smart? No, because I've got faith to believe the gospel will wake you up if you can be waked up. And we plan to preach it every day and every night, and we're going to visit you with the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to say yes to the truth, and He's going to witness with your spirit whether you're a child of God or not. And I believe God will call His children back if they'll listen to the Word of God. And so He said, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Would you turn with me to the book of Habakkuk? Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. You talk about a picture of desolation and famine. This is it. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. Now you see how hard up you are, don't you, without your Bible? You see how bankrupt you are without your Bible? You haven't got a verse yet. Now you're going to try to remember, but you can't. You won't remember. But if you had that Bible and you'd mark them and put a little piece of paper there in your Bible, I'll guarantee you go over those when you get home tonight, it'd mean a lot more to you. And if you'll mark these scriptures, that's right. Listen, you show me a clean Bible and I'll show you a lean soul. If your Bible's clean, your soul's lean. Put her down. You say, what do you mean? I mean, if you haven't marked it and dropped tears all over it and prayed over it and handled it, and if it's not kind of worn out, there's something wrong with you. I'm just interested in one thing, Brother Hodges, and I'm going to go after it, and that's a Bible revival. I'll guarantee you, McQuire, many of you haven't got your Bible. I'm going to stay after you. I'm going to spank you every night you come. I'm going to do it in love, but I'm going to get after you. I want to see a revival. I don't care about they call this a roll-off crusade. We don't need a roll-off crusade. You know what it'd do? Just roll off and it'd be gone. Brother, I want a Bible crusade. I want to see a heaven-sent Christ crusade, soul-winning crusade. Of course, I know that identifies it, and that's all right. But listen to me. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, there won't even be any blossoms on the fig tree. And let me tell you something. One of the greatest things that ever grew is a fig. Black Mission figs. How many of you old-timers ever took fig syrup when you was a kid? Uh-huh. How many of you? You know what Hezekiah put on him when God healed him? He put figs on him. That's right. Figs. You see, God's got everything in His fruit and His vegetables that it takes to heal. You don't have to go to the drugstore. If we had the right kind of food, food would become our best medicine. And until it is, we'll die before we're supposed to die. You remember that. There's no healing in drugs. There's no healing in synthetics. There's no healing in anything except what God blesses. Remember that. And if you don't believe it, you will, or you'll die one. And so he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. That means the grapes are gone. And there's nothing like a big glass of unsweetened grape juice or fresh grapes. It's a beautiful blood builder. You ought to drink a big glass of grape juice every night, maybe with a half a lemon juice in it, and drink before you go to bed. Mother Nature will take that and mop all night with it, clean all night with that. You'd say, well, Brother Olaf, I have some store-bought ice cream before I go to bed every night, huh? Well, I'll guarantee she'll never put that on her mop. Bunch of synthetic poison. If you knew how many poison in that, you'd never do it. I'm just trying to preach that we got to get back to the Bible. We're a dying nation. We're degraded, depraved. We're in the end time decay right now of America. You watch 10 more years. There's not going to be enough hospitals. They haven't got enough insane institutions now. They haven't got enough psycho wards now. I mean, you try to see a psychiatrist, he'll tell you it'll be 30 days before you get an appointment. Why? You say, well, we just need to get it. Everybody's got more education than ever had before. Brother, I tell you, the plague's in the head. Yes, sir. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail. There went your olive oil, one of the greatest oils you could ever get. Olive oil, that's one of God's remedies, olive oil. Oh, listen, the little olive, it's small, but I guarantee it's got something in it. It'll lubricate your system. Lubricates your system. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. There went your vegetables. You say, well, it didn't say vegetables, it said meat. I know, but that's what they called meat back then. What do you make meat out of? What do you build cows out of? Green grass and vegetables, huh? That's the reason you don't let them in the garden. They'd eat it all up. They got good sense. But they'd never, if you cooked it, they wouldn't eat it. But you will. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, what kind of preacher we got here? Bible preacher. I'm staying right with the book. I'm just trying to show you. See, God, he gave it to you like he wants you to have it. Man hadn't got sense enough to take it. That's the reason he's fouled up the gospel. The average preacher won't even preach the gospel like it is. He got to add to it, take from, and help God out and all that kind of junk. Brother, just go ahead and give it like it is. But he said, the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Now that comes. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Of course, I know you know that until man fell, he never did eat a bite of meat. That's right. Until after he got himself in a lot of trouble. But notice, he said the flock should be cut off from the fold and there should be no herd in the stalls. Of course, there's another sermon brewing. I won't preach it tonight. And then even then, when God let people eat meat, he told them what meat to eat and what meat not to eat, didn't he? That's right. Oh, I tell you, haven't we gone a long ways from Bible living? Isn't it a sight? But look at the price we're paying. Every hospital's crammed and jammed. Every drugstore's doing a landslide business. And everybody's sick. You hardly ever find anybody feeling real good. You know that? You just ask somebody in the morning, how are you? Oh, I guess doing fairly well. How are you getting along, grandmother? Oh, tolerably. Mm-hmm. How are you this morning? Well, I have felt better. I'm not doing so well. Have you ever heard, oh, listen, nearly everybody feels bad. Nearly everybody. Get up feeling bad, go to bed feeling bad. Why? Something wrong with them. Haven't taken care of the old body. You boys and girls over here on the front seat, hey, son, look here. Punch that boy. You watch me here. That's right, and you listen. I'll knock a knot on your pumpkin head. I don't put up with any foolishness in my meeting. I'm serious about that. You girls and boys, I'll come and spank you right here in this auditorium. I mean, that's the way we do our girls, isn't that right? You don't see these girls cutting up, we'd whip them right on this platform. And I'm serious about it. We're not going to put up with any foolishness in this auditorium. We're here to win souls for Christ and to get the gospel. And you mothers and daddies, if those are your youngs, if you don't take care of them, I am. You say you're pretty hard. No, I'm just serious. I just believe it. I don't have any time to waste, neither do you. We're on our way to eternity tonight. Did you know that? One night, little old boy sitting out in front of me, and I tell you, he was a cutter. I mean, he was, you've heard him calling a pistol and everything else. Well, I nearly exploded on him, and I told him, I said, boy, I'll jerk you up and whip you if you don't sit there and get quiet right now. You understand? And he said, uh-huh. He looked at me. Somebody said, I know a bunch of the, you know, softies and sissies and little Casper milk toasts. They said, isn't that terrible? Preacher, get up and talk to a little boy like that. little fella, maybe, you know. I preached a sermon, he listened to every bit of it and came down to altar and got saved. Amen? I had to get his attention, didn't I? That's right. And so you're going to have to listen if you stay in this auditorium. We're renting this auditorium for God this week and for precious souls to be saved. All right? Let's read on. He said, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, if that kind of famine is on, looks to me like it's about over. I mean, how can people ever, you'd say, well, he must be a miserable man. You know he's going to have to be unhappy. Wait a minute. I haven't read it all. Read the next verse. Yep. I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. I may lose my groceries, but I won't lose my God. I may not get to eat, but I'll still praise God. I'm on my way home. And if I starve to death, I'm going to Jesus' home where we'll never hunger anymore. That's what he said. I'm talking about joy tonight. Have you lost the joy? Have you really? Are you wilted? Are you wilted as a Christian? Or do you have the jubilant that you ought to have? All right, let's read a little further. Would you go please to Luke chapter 10 and verse 17? You know what it says? The 70 returned with joy. You know who they were? Brother Hodges is the people that went out soul winning. They came back happy. They'd been out doing what God told them to do. When they, oh, sure, people kicked at them, spit on them, and threatened to kill them, and threw rocks at them, but they came back, all of them, happy as they could be. Bible said they came back with joy. Came back with joy. Isn't that what we read this afternoon? Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. With him, you're coming back happy. Would you like to have a real happy week this week? Then get out and win some souls for Christ. Just get out and win some souls for Christ. I was over at the airport at the Grands today. And I said, son, he's at the hangar there, you know, I mean, at the place that dispenses gas and answers the phone and answers Unicom. And I said, son, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir. I like the way he said that. He said, yes, sir. He said, I just don't get to go to church since I have to work out here. But he said, I tell you, I go every time I can. He said, I knew that boy's a Christian. He's clean. And I mean, he didn't say, well, I'm doing the best I can. And I joined the Baptist church. No, he said, yes, sir, I'm a Christian. He was happy about it. He's happy. Would you like to have a real happy week? Then I want you to win some souls for Christ. Think about it. If everybody in this auditorium would win one soul to Christ, wouldn't that be something? I'll tell you, heaven would rejoice, and I believe the angels would wonder what's going on down here. You and I, if we'd win somebody to Christ, you'd say, well, I don't know how to do it. I'll tell you what you do. You bring them up here, and I'll help you with them. You just load them up in the car. You do the hauling. You transport them, and we'll work on them when you get them here. I mean, with the gospel, see? All right. Now then, let's see if there's another verse. You know, Romans chapter 14, verse 12, you know what it says? The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Ghost. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. Did you know that the fruit of the Spirit is love and then joy and peace? Those three are the first three fruits of the Word of God. Those three, love, joy, and peace. In the Holy Ghost. Now that's the Holy Spirit for us. Oh, may the Lord help us. Now would you turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy... The joy. Where's the joy set before him? Did you know that we only have a little taste of joy down here? Most of it's ahead of us. You know, we have an earnest of our salvation, earnest of the Spirit. We have a down payment. We have a guarantee we're going to get the rest of it. Did you know that we have an earnest? We have joy, but the joy is set before us. You think Jesus enjoyed the cross? No, sir, said he endured the cross, despising the shame, sat on the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus didn't enjoy the cross, but he endured it, and the joy was ahead of him. You'd say, where'd the joy, where was it ahead of him? Dear friend, do you believe that when Jesus hung on that old rugged cross, that he could see maybe down the road that some of those people that crucified him were going to be saved? Reckon who those 3,000 were saved at Pentecost when Peter preached? Don't you imagine Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Don't you imagine a bunch of them got forgiveness? He prayed for them that they'd be forgiven. The joy that was set before him. I tell you, there's a lot of joy ahead of us, but there's a lot of sadness ahead of the sinner. The sadness, and of course to me, the thing that's sad is a sinner's sad while he lives, and he's sure going to be sad after he dies. I mean, there's no joy anywhere for the sinner. You're empty here, you'll be empty hereafter. There's no hope here, there's no hope hereafter for the sinner. Isn't it sad that people would live in sin? Now turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept, amen, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye have been heaviness through manifold temptation, knowing that the trying of your patience, trying your faith, is much more precious than gold tried in the fire, he said. Tried in the fire. Oh, listen, dear friends, why don't God's people realize that we're going to have some temptations down here, but that doesn't mean we're going to be defeated. Well, he said, wherein you greatly rejoice. He said, you don't just rejoice, you greatly rejoice. Oh, listen, dear friends, our faith's got to be tried. How would you know you had good faith if it wasn't tried? I mean, if you didn't ever get it tried out, my daddy never would even buy a pair of mules before he tried them out. Used to, my daddy, he'd buy an old car, second-hand car. He'd always try the thing out. He said, let me drive it a while. He'd drive down the road and stop and start and throw it in all the gears. Now, he's trying it out. How do you know your faith's going to work, brother, if you don't try it out? It's going to be tried, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found of the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Got to believe it. Said, you don't even see him, but you believe him, and you can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. That's right. Listen, joy. Have you lost the joy? Well, let me come to the heart of the message now. I've given you a lot of scriptures. I hope you could remember them and study them when you get home. Time's gone so fast, hasn't it? Let me give you something about the man that lost his joy. Say, where'd he lose it? He lost it over that sin pile. He lost it in the hog pen. Oh, I wish I had time to develop this and go back when he was a little boy playing the harp. I wish I could go back where he'd kill that lion, that bear out there in the pasture one day. I wish I could go back and visit that little old boy named David, pulled a slingshot out of his pocket and took one little old stone, twirled it around about three or four or five times and turned it loose and hit old Goliath, and right in the middle of the temple he fell just dead as a hammer. Wasn't that a great victory? Wasn't that a great victory? And yet, he's defeated now. The devil took a slingshot, loaded with a stone of sin. Fact is, he had hit him with two stones, didn't he? He hit him first with a stone of immorality, then he hit him with a stone of murder, and it's all gone now. His joy's gone. Oh, mothers and daddies, I wish you'd pay attention to me tonight. I wish you'd let me sit close to you for a minute. Let me park over by the side of your heart for a minute. Are you really happy in the Lord?
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today was entitled, Where Has the Joy Gone? Now, to receive that message on a CD, ask for offer number RO2453 and include $10 to help with shipping and handling. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. If you would like to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. During the month of July, we recommend this offer, No Thieves in Heaven, a message by Brother Roloff teaching the difference between a thief and a shepherd from the Gospel of John,
chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. You will learn who is the thief and how he operates. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO2748 and include $10. We would also accept credit cards by dialing 1-800-772-7507, or you can write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now the offer again is No Thieves in Heaven, offer number 2748. This is Gene Price, speaking for the staff here today, wishing you a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. The weary rest, He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.